Well, I just wish to share something that has blessed me for many, many years now. So I will take a short time because for those, well, I'm sure you know Leslie particularly well. She's the more talkative one of the two of us. So I will yield to that and give her the lion's share. So I will kick off with this thing that's blessed me for many years, possibly because it has affinity with the Apostle Peter, my name as well. Anyway, it all started about 50 years ago in the crypt at Canterbury Cathedral. I went to King's School Canterbury, and the cathedral was effectively our chapel. We didn't have a school chapel, so whenever there were school-only services, we used the cathedral, some chapel. And on a Sunday evening, I think it was about 6 o'clock, the whole school would convene in the crypt downstairs. Now, if anybody of you who know the crypt at the cathedral, to pack in about 600 pupils, or over 600 pupils, is quite a tight fit. Anyway, we did that every Sunday evening. So for roughly Saturday afternoon, most of Sunday, apart from Sunday morning when there was another school service in the cathedral, so almost like a day and a half of sports and relaxation, etc., we would convene in there, and either the school chaplain or the headmaster, who was always an ordained person, and there are a few other staff who were also ordained, would give the sermon at the evensong. And then sometimes the dreaded phrase at the beginning of the sermon would crop up. My text this evening is taken from and a book and a chapter and a verse. And I always felt sorry for the guy who was speaking because you could almost hear that visible groan from about 600 boys, because it was boys only in those days. But I wasn't a Christian then, but this particular evening, something must just struck a chord because I've never forgotten it and the verses in this particular story. I don't remember what the guy spoke about, but I just remember the story. So I think even the Lord then had his hand on me, because it was at least 10 years later before I became a committed Christian. So the text is from Matthew's Gospel. No need to refer to it, it's only a few verses. Matthew 16, starting at 13. And this is Peter's confession of Christ. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "What do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." So that's the story that always blessed me, and I now try and imagine what happened at that time. And there were the apostles wandering around the villages in and around Caesarea Philippi. And I guess maybe of an evening they would all convene together, all very excited, chatting away to each other about what had happened, what they'd heard, what they'd seen. And probably each one of us has a picture of what happened and how that happened. Maybe they met in a big room in a house, maybe by a lake or on a hillside or by a river. Ever since I saw the film Jesus of Nazareth, the one where Robert Powell portrays Jesus, that's my picture of how they handled this. The disciples were all around quite a big fire, a log fire, I think by some water. It seemed like they were on a beach, and it was evening time, so it was dark. And they're all chatting and excited, as I said. And you could hear the flames crackling away. And that's when Jesus's first question came of, who do people say the Son of Man is? And they answered John the Baptist, Jeremiah, Elijah, and I'm sure some other names cropped up. And as the names were tripped out, you can imagine some of the others said, yes, I heard those names too, and yes, me too, me too. So they went through the list of names, and they obviously finished that. And they came to a silence in the end, and there was a pause. And then Jesus's very dramatic second question, and who do you say I am? Well, I can guess there was the mother of all pauses then. We've had the benefit of 2,000 years of hearing and learning about Jesus, but you can imagine the apostles, they'd only been with him for a short time, and suddenly this bombshell of a question came across their bows. And then Peter's wonderful discernment and confession of who Jesus is. So let's look at that question, and I'd like to stress some of the individual words. Very simple question, just a few words. But first of all, who do you say I am? Who is the who? It's not a what. He's Jesus, the Son of God. And we can all trip out a list of titles for Jesus. King, Father, Brother, Friend. All these wonderful names. Who do you say I am? Not the person sitting next to you, not a group of people, not this church, but who do me, who do I say he is? That's a challenge. Then who do you say I am? That's an action word. Not who do you think I am, but who do you say I am? So it's an encouragement to speak to others, to our neighbors, to our workplace friends, to our community, anyone around us, anyone we meet, family, friends. Another challenge. And lastly, who do you say I am? I think it's fascinating and wonderful that it ends on Jesus, Jehovah, Jesus' name, I am. So that's what's blessed me over the years, and I often come back to it. It's been a great blessing. I think it was a very profound moment. I think it was a wow moment, and I still get that wow factor when I think about it. Here's Leslie.
Thank you. I like to title this Yesterday, Today, and Tomorrow. I'll briefly do my yesterday. First of all, almost 70 years ago, I was born at the RVH. When I was 11 months old, my parents moved to Canada, and I lived there for 15 years. That explains the way I speak. I've spent my whole life telling people that. I had five schools in 8 years, so my education wasn't particularly wow. But I did go to church. I went to church a lot. I could tell you the three creeds in Latin. Amazing. Then when I was 15, I thought I'm going to be a nun. Now, because I'd moved around such a lot, I was looking for security. And I thought, that's a good thing to do. I can wear the same clothes every day. I can be with God all the time. I'll have no problems. It will be wonderful. Well, then my aunt died, left three small children. My parents sold up, and we moved back to England. So that put the end to me being a nun. I went to a girls' school for a couple of years, which was weird, because when the milkman came, girls would run to the window because it was a man. Oh, England, oh dear. It wasn't really what I had in mind for being in England. I left school, got a job in Harrods. I worked there for 8 years, trained to be a librarian. And I had a tremendous love of books. It was wonderful. And I was paid to tell other people how to think. And one of the people that I had as my client was a chap called Sidney Dehaan. And 50 years later, I sat next to his son Roger at our son's wedding. I had no idea. We have no idea how big our God is and what is going on. when I left, was at Harrods, I met Peter, and we courted, as they used to say, for 4 years. We got married, and we had two boys, and we lived in a very nice house, and we had lots of money and whatever we wanted. I thought we did, because whatever we wanted, we could have. It was great. And one particular Wednesday afternoon, June 1975, I looked out the window, and I just looked, and I thought, do you know, we've got everything, but there was something missing. There was a gap. There was something missing. That was Wednesday. On Saturday, Peter's parents came for dinner and told us they were getting divorced. Well, if you'd met Peter's dad, he was like all the Father Christmases you could imagine rolled into one. He was the family doctor. Peter was actually born in the house he got married from. This man, who was the pillar of the community, was going off on August the 29th to live with his girlfriend. Well, that came as quite a shock, because at that time he was my security. He was solid. Peter was solid. He was just, this can't be happening to me, because I got to a place where, oh dear, this was way out of my control. So a couple of weeks later, we went down to, Peter's parents had another house in Devon, and someone came down and talked to his dad about Jesus. What could Jesus do? Jesus could change the situation. Oh, you mean, we'd always believed in God. Gosh, I've been to church for years. I mean, it's no question that God exists, but Jesus can do something? Not sure. Anyway, after 2 hours, his dad changed his mind, said he was going to stay. Well, the power of prayer. Through that weekend, 17 members of our family came to the Lord. I mean, it was just tremendous, absolutely tremendous. But on August the 29th, his dad did go. He decided that this other woman was what he wanted, and off he went. So we always say it's 17 heaven, one hell. But I have to tell you, before he died, he did repent. And so it was 18, really. So that was very good. Anyway, we moved to the house in Cranbrook because we thought, you know, we need to go somewhere to church. And I was praying in the September. My prayer life wasn't really working. I wanted to see people change. I needed to be changed. Now, if I'm honest, I didn't come to Jesus for sin. I came to Jesus for security. But the more I prayed and the more I read the Bible, I realized what a horrible person I was. I really wasn't very nice. And the more I read, the more I cried. Someone said to me, if you read Romans 18, you'll find there's no condemnation for those who are in Jesus. Oh, you mean all my bad bits? Yes, she said, all your bad bits. As Les said this morning, when God looks at us, he sees Jesus. And I just thought, wow, that's tremendous to know that that is the truth. Anyway, my friend said to me, what you need is to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. So I said, oh, how do you do that? Well, she said, you're not complete unless you are. Lots of people believe in God. They go to church. But you can stand in your garage. It doesn't make you a car. You know, you have to think, really, what is this relationship you have? Where do you want to take it? So I said, how do I do it? So she said, well, you go out and sit in the garden, start praising the Lord, and he will give you what you're asking for. I did. And it was fabulous. I just sat in the garden and started praising Jesus and saying, thank you so much. And just, I found myself using other words. It was amazing. Well, the next day, I'm walking across the field in Cranbrook, and there's a man walking. And I said, excuse me, would you like to have a bath? Well, you don't normally expect that. Anyway, he said, yes, I would. I'd love to have a bath. I'm actually staying over in the campsite over there. So he came home, and he's now pastoring a church in New York with his wife, and we still keep in touch with him. We had a friend come to stay, and he was talking one evening, and I just felt to tell him, we have this urge, don't we? We want to hear Jesus. It's really great. Anyway, so I told him about what God had done in our lives and how, I mean, this guy had pots of money. I said, you may think you've got everything, but you haven't unless you have Jesus. Oh, he said, well, actually, I don't believe in God, really. So I said, well, there'll come a time. So I said, if there is a God, what would you like him to do for you? Well, he said, we have a 9-year-old little boy, and we've been trying to have a baby for 7 years. Would I pray? I said no. Now, I know before you say anything else, I should have said yes, but I said no, because I felt God saying to me, ask him to pray. Get him to pray. So I said, no. I said, God wants you to pray. He flew home the next day, and 9 months later, baby Grant was born. And we were just thrilled because God can do big things and he can do little things. There's a particular story. There's a particular story I like to tell. Thank you for the time. That some of you may have heard before, but it just tickles me, and Wendy especially. We were having dinner on a business dinner. I was with Peter in Florida, and we were with this very nice couple. I mean, they were awfully nice. They lived on a golf course. They were awfully nice. And I just looked at the two of them, and there's bumper stickers in the States, and it says, repent now, avoid the queue on Judgment Day. And I like that, because that's the world the Americans live in. Trust me. So we were talking, and just about the end of the evening, Pat says to me, have you read any good books lately? And I thought, this is it. I can get in. So I looked at Peter, and Peter's looking at me as if, please don't get spiritual. Please don't get spiritual tonight. We go home tomorrow. Please, let's just have a nice evening. So I said, since I've been a Christian, I haven't read any good books. And Thorben, sitting next to me, turned and looked at me. Pat said, does that mean you're like Cliff Richard? No. Well, yes, because that's what people think, don't they? And Thorben turned to me and said, I had a girlfriend in East Croydon, and she was very nice until she became a Christian, and her name was Jackie Pullinger. And I'm sitting next to Jackie Pullinger's last boyfriend before she became a Christian. Wow, God, what are you doing? Oh, my goodness. Anyway, before this sort of awkward silence appeared, the waitress came, said, well, we'd like to go out on the beach, which we did, because we watched the space shuttle take off, as you do after dinner. Anyway, up it went into the sky, and the sky all went bright red, bright red. And I thought, but I didn't say, when Jesus comes back, this is what it's going to be like. Every eye will see him. If we can light up the sky at night, think of the glory of God when he comes back. It's going to be amazing. Wherever you are in the world, it's absolutely amazing. Anyway, we said goodnight, flew home, next day, day after, phone rings, and it's Roger Pickering. Now, some of you may remember Roger from Scotland with YWAM. And Roger said, oh, can I pop in for a drink tomorrow? So we said, yeah, sure. So he came in, sat down. He said, oh, by the way, he said, I had to delay it a day because I stayed with a friend last night. So I said, okay. So I told him the story, what had happened. Do you know where I was last night, Roger said? No idea. He said, I spent the night with Jill. She's Jackie Pullinger's twin sister, and her husband has just died. And before I left her, she gave me a plastic bag, and in it was Jackie's book. So I said to Roger, wow, this is amazing. I said, I'm going to post this to Florida. So I phoned Pat up and I said, I have a book. And she said, actually, Thorben's not here. He's at Eastwell Manor. I mean, you couldn't make this up, could you? So I posted the book to Eastwell Manor. I phoned Jilly and said to her what had happened. And she said, do you know, I was speaking to Jackie the other day, and she said, I wonder whatever happened to Thorburn. I mean, it's quite a few years gone by. So I told her that I'd send the book to Eastwell Manor, which I did. And Jill got in touch with Jackie. Jackie got in touch with Thorburn. And just the whole connection was made because of, I just said, since I've become a Christian, it opened a door. Now, I'd like to stand here and say to you, they went home and everything was lovely, but I can't. He went home, had a heart attack, and had to leave his job. She got breast cancer and had to stop playing golf. And they both together decided to buy a boat to spend quality time together. Now, I have no idea what has happened or where they are, but I know that God has a plan for their lives and there's something going on there, because God puts each of us in places that we need to be for his purpose. Then God moved us to Hythe. I won't tell you all the story now, just to say that we looked for 2 years. God told us in 1981 to move here, and we looked in Ashford because we thought that's obviously where it is. And Andrew sat in the back of the car one Sunday morning and said, read the verse from Exodus about the cloud by day. Now, for those of you who can't see at the back, this is Hythe with blue sky and a cauliflower cloud right in the middle of it. So when we saw it, we knew that this was where we were meant to be. Now, because of all my changes, I'm one of these weird people that likes change. There's a saying, isn't there? There's nothing so constant as change. I'm used to change. We're going to be having a lot of changes. In November, last November, I was at a conference, and someone said to me, gave me word and said, you're not to keep sitting at the back. You sit at the back a lot. You're to move up. So I moved halfway up because I thought, that's fine, that's okay. And then Millie said to me, no, you're going up the front. I laughed. I said, oh, no, hang on a minute. I'm halfway up. That's fine. I'm in my comfort zone. That's fine. And then Phil sends a text and said, would I go up the front? I mean, it's amazing. When God does things, he's just so amazing. couple of things that have happened recently. Andrew, our eldest son, he's 42, lives in Liverpool. He's just sold his house in New Zealand, and I think truly, because I had 10 years of not seeing the family, it was hard, and especially with the grandchildren, that was hard. So I'm with you there, sister. I'm with you. It's very hard. Saying goodbye all the time is not good. Anyway, they're buying a bigger house in Liverpool, and just recently, his company, which has 36 staff, one of his accountants stole £500,000 out of his company. So I phoned Andrew and said, Andrew, what has happened? Mum, he said, God is bigger than £500,000. Our God is bigger. He's so much bigger. He can do so many things. The lady's gone to prison for 3 years, but they're praying that out of this, she will come to know the Lord. Now, Chris, who's 40, lives locally with his two children, and he owns Landau. And I can't give you any discount, I'm sorry. It's his business. They have a wonderful life. Everything's good. Michelle works at Saga. Everything's lovely. And 2 years ago, when William was four, I took him to the doctor because he wasn't very well. And he was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. So for nearly 2 years and possibly the rest of his life, unless the Lord intervenes, he injects 35 times a week into his legs and has blood tests 7 or 8 times where he makes himself bleed. And this is hard to watch. And it changed our lives, as you can imagine. It's not what we thought. This shouldn't happen. This shouldn't happen. But he's so good about it all. And last Monday, we went to a meeting where the NHS are going to supply us with a new pump, which means he'll only have two injections a week. It's only just been released in Southeast Kent Health Authority. In the whole of the UK, we're the first part to have it. So we're hoping that he will take that. But one of the things that just blesses him enormously are the puppet shows that go to his school. He's at Saltwood. And he comes out of there on a Wednesday, bouncing and chatty and so full up about the stories in the Bible that Barney and the others have done puppet shows on. He even told me about the young man with a moustache. He said he was very funny. And this week it was David and Goliath. And he asked if he could have his children's Bible, which he's, because he's got quite good at reading. And so he read the story of David and Goliath. And it's just touching him in ways, and his parents, which is really good, because some of you may remember many years ago when Chris was baptized. That just the whole thing, a life changer. I think a lot of us have life changers. Edith goes to school next year, because she'll be ready for school. So for Peter and I, this is going to be a whole new change. After 8 years, we have Edith every Tuesday, every Wednesday. We pick up Wednesdays and Thursdays, sometimes on Mondays, sometimes we have them for the weekends. So as you grandparents know, it is quite a full-time job being part-time grandparents. So we very much enjoy doing that. One of the good things was that just recently, I know he's got muscles. He used to do cross-country running. But he's been on steroids, and this has helped him enormously to get better, because he thinks he's 30, but he isn't. So that's our secret anyway. But this summer in particular is going to be my 40th born-again birthday. So that's something that we're going to celebrate. I don't know how we're going to do it, but that's how we're going to celebrate it. Now, as for me, I've become a friend down at Ashburnham, and I very much enjoy that. I go down there sometimes when I want a break, and I go down there sometimes when God tells me. And I've always had a word. I've always had a word. God has never, ever let me down. And last summer, end of the summer, I was down there and I got nothing, absolutely nothing. I've been there 3 days, nothing. So I thought, maybe I'm just here to get blessed. So, okay. So I packed up, got in the car, and I went to drive out to go over the bridge. And I have shared this with Graham, so he does know. And as I went over the bridge, on the top pond, all the ducks got out of the pond, walked across the grass, walked across the path, walked across. I had to stop the car. Not one of them flew. Not one of them. They could have flown. Not one of them flew. And I'm saying, Lord, what are you saying? And the Lord said, you're moving. You're going to a new building. I went, oh, well, that'd be very nice. But we have been praying for that for a very long time. Anyway, so the ducks carried on walking and walking. None of them flew. And last week, I think it was someone said, I think it was Vincent said, about an update for, you know, and there's been a glitch. That's okay. That's okay, because we are not to rush into this. God will take us all. Not one duck flew. All of us will go together to the new place. So we will know that when the time is right, that we will all go together. There's a verse in John 14, I think, that says, greater things will you do than I have done. I still find that absolutely amazing, to think that you are going to be doing greater things than you can possibly imagine because of what God wants to do in your life. There's another verse. just a minute, I'm just going to have a drink. Oh, I seem to find myself in a situation. Ah, but don't worry, don't come up and help. I don't want anybody to help. You see, I have the answer. I have a hairdryer. It's okay. This is a gray hairdryer, matches my hair. It's three speeds, it's very good. It's Braun. Now that is a good make. I happen to know that's a very good make. So this is fabulous. So all I have to do is just to hold it on here and it will dry my hair. If you just like to wait a minute, I'll just wait till it dries. Oh, so something's not right. Oh dear, I've got no power. You see, I can't change the situation without power. I can't have any effect without the power of the Holy Spirit. And I really believe this morning that unless, especially with the view of next week, with all these new people coming, we need to have power. Twice last week, I had a top-up. I needed a top-up. And I would like to give you the opportunity to just be able to come up here. I'd like to pray for you. We'd like to pray, the people to pray for you, to receive blessing. I'd like you to be, God wants you to be. You can receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. You can just have a blessing. You can have a top-up. If you don't know Jesus, well, that's even better, because that's the most important thing. But I have to tell you, before you come up, the first time we did this, the man who came to our house to be prayed, nothing happened. And the following Sunday, we were at church, and our pastor said, "Have you seen Peter Draper?" We said, "No, nothing happened." "Oh," he said, "he went home and went to bed and started praising the Lord and sang and spoke in tongues most of the night. He got up and in his spare time, he's been sitting on a bench in Tunbridge Wells telling people about Jesus and praying for the sick." Oh, see, I can't do anything. I can do nothing, but God can. God is able. He is more than able. Now, I'm not saying you're going to end up on a bench on the Lees sharing the gospel with people. I'm not saying that, but you don't know. We have a big God. Our God is amazing. So if any of you would like to come up and be prayed for, I would love to pray for you. Now, hand back to Bill.